Welcome, my friend. You are listening to Read Clean YA with CJ, the podcast for teens and young adults who want to explore exciting worlds, deep themes, and epic stories without the objectionable content. I'm your host, award-winning young adult author, CJ Malacy, and in this episode, we are going to dive into an author interview with young adult author Bradley Caffey. Bradley Caffey was born in Richmond, Virginia. He spent most of his childhood years in Massachusetts and his teen years back in Virginia. He trained for vocational ministry through the Moody Bible Institute and Dallas Theological Seminary before spending 12 years in the pastorate. It was in the pulpit that Bradley learned his love of storytelling. In April 2013, he began the work of transforming an idea into his first novel, The Chase, published in July of 2016. He now lives in North Carolina with his wife and children. Bradley, welcome to the show.
Hey, CJ, it's great to be here again.
It's so great to have you back. For our listeners who don't know, Bradley was one of my early podcast guests. He was on a while ago. We've talked about his other books. And today I am thrilled to have him back because we're talking about his newest book, Captive, which I had the pleasure of reading early and endorsing. This book is so good, guys. I really enjoyed it. And I would love it if you could share with our listeners a little bit about this story.
Yeah. So it just kind of began with this very early idea. One of the popular genres right now is like alien invaders and big epic, you know, alien versus human kind of battles. And I just started to think about that. Really couldn't sink my teeth into that idea. So I thought, what if we come up with something a little bit different? What if the aliens are not what we expect? What if they are not the malevolent creatures we think they are? And this story just began to blossom. What if no one understands that? What if we could pull in some of the themes of, you know, just, you know, hatred and prejudice and racism and all these kinds of things that we do struggle with in our world, but put it in a sci-fi context. And so you've got a world here where it is post-apocalypse. The aliens have destroyed the Earth. Everyone just refers to it as the cataclysm. And there's a young man whose father worked very closely with the aliens who promised clean energy. And the big explosion that caused everything ended up killing his father. And he's just this bitter young man who's had to live on the streets for a couple years, just scrapping by to survive. And he wants answers. And so the book actually opens. He's captured one of the alien creatures and he intends to interrogate it and get the answers he wants about what actually happened and what really happened to his father. Just a lot of anger and hatred and things that he's pouring out on this creature. So it begins in a really dark place, but that's kind of the setup to the story of you get inserted into this world of this young man who you're looking through his eyes and he absolutely hates these other creatures. Without giving too many spoilers, let's just say you've got creatures who can't get along, who are forced to trust each other, and the relationship begins to build. And the more they find out about each other, the more they begin to trust each other, the more their world begins to open up and their opportunities.
It is such a fascinating story because I am not someone who typically picks up an alien book. I'm not going to lie. Bradley and I have connected because we're dystopian lovers. We both love dystopian stories. This book is so different, but I love Bradley's storytelling. So I was excited to read it. And at first I was like, okay, alien. But as I got into it, this story hits on some really deep themes and resonates because oftentimes our hatred is born out of hurt, out of pain. And that's where Ted is when this starts, is he's in a really dark place, like you said. And it is fascinating because you understand this guy, but you also see how it's coming out of him. And it's like, I understand your pain, but the way it's reading to the rest of the world is this angry, bitter young man. And you're like, oh man, come on, you have more than this. And as he grows throughout the story, that transformation, which, not to give spoilers, but you know, is some incredible to watch because, like you said, you throw a bunch of two people or an alien and a person together who really don't want to trust each other or like each other. And they have to work together. And it forces the story into these really unique moments and places and discovering more about someone that you had all of these opinions about, but you didn't actually know before. And I love how you did that, but it is so different from what you've written before. So how did you get into this alien space when normally you're writing dystopian? I mean, I guess apocalyptic, but still it is a little different twist on what you've written before.
Yeah. When my ideas come to me, they tend to be very spontaneous. These serendipitous moments where an idea just pops in my head. Sometimes it's while I'm dreaming, sometimes it's while I'm mowing the lawn or just something very ordinary. And this idea pops in, like, what if we did this? And sometimes, you know, those story ideas just kind of get their talons in me. So I really can't tell you where this story was born out of. It was just this moment of, what if? What if we told a relational alien apocalyptic story? What would that even look like?
Yeah. And it is so fascinating. I think that the characters in a story are what drive a story forward. So even though it's a relational story about an alien and a human, it feels so real because it's like what we deal with on a daily basis is relationships, people, and the characters who come alive to us are the ones who feel real. And this story feels so real as you get into it. And even though we're dealing with aliens, and before the episode, I'm asking Bradley, how do we pronounce these? Because in my head, I say one thing and, you know, I'm like, what is this? But at the same time, it feels like something that you can relate to. And I think that's one of the things that really captured me in this story was the relatability of an alien and a human and the connection there.
Well, it really is an extrapolation of something we deal with every day. And that is, how do you relate to other people who are very different from you? Mm. And there's a whole spectrum of how different people are from us, but different perspectives and different backgrounds, different experiences. Well, to put a human and an alien together is just like the extreme version of that. But all the same, you know, struggles that they have are the same struggles we have in our human relationships every day of learning to relate to other people and learn to live our lives a little bit in other people's shoes and see through their eyes.
Absolutely. And it's something that as Christians, I think we need to understand on an even deeper level, because Jesus came and totally gave up glory to interact with us. Talk about the greatest extreme measures, right? Of like interacting with someone who's totally different from yourself. Like, Jesus is perfect and we are sinful humans, mm-hmm. and he chose to meet us where we are. And I think as Christians, we're called to meet other people where they are, whether it's a totally different culture or ethnicity, different background, different economic status, any of that, but to actually go to where people are and care for them, love them, and meet them in their space is what should make Christians different from the world around us. And I think, though your story isn't an overtly Christian, you know, it's not like, oh, we're going through this message through the story, but at the same time, there is a deeper message and theme mm-hmm. that shows that throughout. And I love talking about those kind of themes in the story, and we've kind of hit on it already, but how did you end up in this place where you are dealing with essentially racism and how to address hatred and someone who really looks at someone else and looks down on them for who they are because of their culture or their race, in this case, an alien. How did that theme come about in this story? Because it is a really powerful and important theme. And just curious if you knew you were going to get into it when you started, or if you got just as surprised as the rest of us as you were kind of digging into the story itself.
Yeah, I mean, focusing particularly on the themes of hatred and racism was a little unexpected. You know, maybe I should have anticipated that when I started to formulate the story in my mind. But really, the book just started with the opening scene in the basement. That's all I had at the beginning. I didn't know where it was going to go. Let's just travel with this story. It sort of turned into the developing themes that it had. But one thing I did know is I knew I wanted to have the deeper struggle of someone kind of being captive to themselves, so to speak. You know, the name of the book is supposed to have a double meaning. Not only has he taken captive, literally a prisoner of war, so to speak, but he's captive to his own prejudices, his own hatred, his own hurt. I love that you hit on that already, because that's really where a lot of this is born out of. Mm. And it's in the dedication of the book that I dedicate this to anyone who is still held captive by the things that they've gone through, whatever darkness is in their story and the way it's then expressing itself in their life. There's freedom that can be had in that, from that. Prior to that freedom, it really does hold us captive and dictate a lot of our behavior until we begin the struggle to overcome. So that's really where I knew it was going to begin. It just began to express itself in those particular themes because it just lent itself to the relationship that they had.
Mm, yeah. And I think that in a world where victim mentality is very prevalent, we live in a culture specifically that I think almost idolizes it on some levels, mm-hmm. you know, what I've gone through and my trauma is my story, instead of overcoming the trauma being a bigger part of our stories, or understanding that we can have victory from that darkness that is in our past and in our history. And we don't have to, like you said, be held captive by the darkest moments of our lives. That's not what has to define us forever. And it can almost be scary, because for Ted, for example, in the story, he understands his hatred. He understands his hurt. He understands his pain. But then to have that kind of turned on its head as he walks through getting to actually know one of the creatures he hates is scary, because we're now in unknown territory, and it's easier sometimes to hold on to the darkness of our lives, of the places we've been a victim, or we've been hurt, or we've had difficult experiences, than it is to let God bring us out of that and into something new, something so much better, something that has so much more life. And this story definitely touches on both of those things. And the captive double meaning is felt throughout the story for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you hit it 100%. I mean, Ted is, he's the ultimate victim. I mean, his world has literally been destroyed. His father was taken from him. He's lost his entire family. I mean, he's going through his own Job type experience, biblical experience. Yes. His world has unraveled, and he's, you know, just on the streets, just trying to survive as a kid. And so, his hatred is sort of understandable, because from his perspective, these creatures showed up and ruined everything.
Yeah.
But it's when he takes that breath and says, maybe there's more to the story. And, you know, for those who haven't read the book, you also get a little bit of the inside look at the alien's mindset, you know, through her perspective a little bit. And seeing that she also hates the humans, and she also is kind of, you know, upset and angry. And I won't give all the reasons why, because that's major spoiler. But,
yes.
you know, seeing them come together and have to stop and actually take a beat. And it's amazing how much the victim mentality dissipates when we stop and we just get a little bit of that 30,000 foot view of our life and realize, bad things have happened, but there is light on the other side, and there's things I don't know about, and there's a much bigger story than my narrow tunnel vision can provide. And when we gather the bigger story, and as Christians, we understand the bigger story is the God-sized story. And my story is just one of many that God is writing. And sometimes there are dark chapters, but if I let that define me, I'm really narrowing the focus on what God is trying to do, when in reality, he's doing something much bigger than me, much more eternal sized than I can ever comprehend. And when we can take that step back and see that, a lot of times our darkness, the light gets turned up a little bit and we can find hope again.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's hard to do in that dark space. It's often the circumstances of our lives that can force us to, which is what happens with Ted and Tashjaya, I'm not sure if I'm
Tashjaya,
saying her name.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Tashjaya.
Alien
the
languages.
Alien names. Yes. But it happens to both of them, because they're literally connected at the hip at this point, because Ted's making that happen at the beginning of the story, and their survival very early on, you realize, is dependent on one another. And if they don't work together, this is going to be a problem. And so their circumstances force them to push a little beyond even what their initial feeling was for one another. And that, I think, is what can happen in our own lives too. If we allow God to do that, like to put people in our lives to challenge our preconceived ideas and notions, to actually have to face whether it's prejudices or hatred or dislike of certain things in order to understand that, oh, wait, maybe I was coming at this at a totally wrong angle and there's more to it than I first thought. And like you said, when we pull back from our narrow view, we see things much more clearly. And that dark smudge is much smaller than the extravagance of what God is doing in our lives. And like you said, from an eternal perspective, what he's going to be doing throughout eternity and what we get to be a part of in that.
Yeah, especially with relationships, like you see in the book, at the outset of the book, there's a lot of talking. Everyone's talking. No one's listening. You know, Ted is doing a lot of actual talking, and also, you know, just physical action that just communicates his hatred. You get to know Tashjaya through her kind of internal monologue that she has going on, but she's definitely, you know, it's all unidirectional. They want to say their piece, so to speak. And it's not until circumstances force them to listen that they begin to see the other person as a person. And I think, man, our culture could use so much more of that. You know, whether it's just different perspectives or varying views on politics or faith or whatever it is, you know, there's a lot of talking going on and not a whole lot of listening. And when we can stop and realize that the person, though we may completely disagree with them, they have a story all their own. They have a valid perspective and it's worth hearing, if for no other reason to realize that's a person on the other side of the conversation. And I think we've lost that in this social media, digital driven world that we have. We've forgotten that people are people. Yeah. And I think that was one of the things I wanted to embrace in this story. If a human, and one of the Skjaja is how I guess you pronounce the alien name here. They, you know, if they can begin to see each other's perspective, how much more can we as humans do so?
Absolutely. And so we need to break the monologue and actually listen and have a conversation, ask intelligent questions, and not just assume we have all the right answers. Because I know for one, the older I get, the more I realize that there's a lot I'm wrong about. There's a lot more that I don't understand in this world than what I do understand. And there are absolutes. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ is an absolute. We have one way to heaven. That is something we can cling to and stand on. But there are a lot of things that aren't necessarily an absolute. And different perspectives. You look in the Bible, even Peter and Paul, they disagreed. You know, Barnabas and Paul disagreed. Paul disagreed with several people, now that I'm saying this out loud. But the point being,
he was a very strong personality.
Definitely. But the point being, like, there are different personalities, there are different perspectives, and we all have something unique that we can offer. And it's when we can listen to what that other person has to say, like you said, that our worldview gets expanded. And also, I think we can embrace people in a deeper way and actually have relationships that challenge us and stretch us and make us better people at the end of the day, because we heard another perspective. Even if we, like you said, don't end up agreeing 100% with that person, we will become better for having listened and understanding where that person is coming from. And it will make us a better person for other people to be around as well.
Absolutely. True story. It's one of the things, you know, I loved about writing this piece, because just bringing in the different characters, not just Ted and Tashjaya, but the other supporting characters in the book, you know, you have the entire spectrum, the entire extreme, from the ultimate villain to the ultimate friend of the aliens and all the people in between that are trying to speak into the situation. And until they are heard, no one's getting anywhere. But the beauty of people working together and coming together in the end, still being two very different creatures. It's just a beautiful metaphor to me, and not something I expected when I started writing.
Yes. I love how stories can end up becoming their own thing. You know, we start one place and God's like, oh, actually I've got a little bit more of a unique turn I want to do here. And it's amazing to me to watch how that unfolds. And I love it because it's difficult sometimes to touch on these very, very hard issues. You know, racism is a painful issue, and it's experienced by many still. And it's terrible what that is like. One of the things that I love about speculative fiction, it's something I talked about recently in an episode with Catherine Briggs, actually, but I love how speculative fiction can allow us to, I think you use the word extrapolate, but kind of blow something out, look at something in a unique way, because it hits on racism, but with aliens. And that's different than anything happening in our culture, because we don't have aliens walking among us that we know of. But it allows us to actually dig into this and see it and see two perspectives, your alien perspective, and you've got Ted's perspective from a human standpoint, someone who's been hurt. And it's interesting to see how we can actually now see a huge issue in a new light, hopefully, by the time we're finished reading this story. And like you said, be ready to listen more and not just act based off of hate and prejudice.
I totally agree. I think some of these topics, there's really, you know, there's two paths to engage them. You know, one is the historical perspective, where you engage in actual real life global events, but then you have a responsibility to be absolutely true to what happened. And there's a lot of focus on the history and the specifics and the data and those kinds of things, all important. But a lot of the focus has to go there. I think one of the beauties of speculative fiction is that it lets you take the topic and remove it from real life, so to speak.
Absolutely.
And it allows you to be a little raw about the topic without having to worry about any insensitivity to anybody or an insensitivity to what actually happened in history, because this didn't happen. It's a story. It is pure fiction. Yeah. And yet the topic is so real, and it lets you just kind of hit right on it, not beat around the bush, and say, this exists. Let's engage this.
Yes, yes. And I think you do it in a beautiful way. And Captive is a story that does grab you and pull you in, and it's exciting. And there's so many questions that are asked as you get into the story, because wait, what is, there's this bubble, which I think is in the back cover copy, so I'm not giving a spoiler.
Oh,
but there's
I mean, it's right on the cover.
Yeah,
I mean,
there it is. Yes, there's a bubble. Exactly. You know, and it's like, what is that? Why are the aliens here? What, who is right in this? You know, is she right or is he right? And what's going on? And, you know, and then you've got other villains that enter the picture who are running around, all this shooting that's happening, and you know, this gunfire,
definitely
gunfire,
a lot of action,
you know, tons of action, and you just keep getting drawn deeper into the story. And so we're talking about this theme, but it is woven into the fabric that is Ted's story and what he goes through. And I think that is why we can, like you said, engage with it in a unique way, because it's the raw emotion of it. It's we're seeing Ted. We actually understand his hurt on some level. We understand where he's at, but we also don't agree with everything he's doing. And we can get pulled into his story and actually touch on some of these issues and think about them in a unique way. And like you said, watch as the characters have to learn to go from monologuing to actually listening and hearing another person's perspective.
That's one of the reasons Ted was actually a little bit difficult to write, because he's a protagonist that at first he's not very likable. I mean, there's something inside of us when you get in that opening chapter and you realize what he intends to do, it grates against us. Like, okay, that's wrong.
Yeah.
You know, he intends to inflict harm right away, and the questions come very quickly, but he's not a likable person. He's very much hurt, but he's very much living out that hurt. And that made him a very challenging character to write. Like, how do we bring this guy around in a realistic way that in the end we can be rooting for him? Because at the outset, we're really not.
Right. And it is fascinating, but that's where all the action and intrigue and questions in the story, I think, helped pull in, because it's like, Ted, we might not love at first, but there's so much questions about what's happening that it is intriguing. And the more you get to know Ted, the more you do really like him. And you see that there behind the hurt, there is more to him, that he's not only this hurt guy who's going to do bad things. There's more to Ted, and there's something that you want to see pull out of him. And you use other characters to kind of help. Lauren, who's another one of the supporting characters, I read the back cover to make sure I wasn't talking about characters who weren't actually written there. She's a character who enters in and she shines some light into things and calls to something deeper in Ted too, pulls him to a higher standard to think more deeply about things. And you watch him grow and change. And at the end of the day, all of us at our worst moments are not likable people. And I think that can resonate with a reader, because we all know that given the right circumstances, people could see us in the worst possible light and we would not be somebody anyone really wanted to be around. At least I can say that for myself, right? In my worst moments, you don't want to be around me, right? Like, we are sinners. We do not do everything perfectly. But at the end of the day, like, we want to be called to something bigger, to something better. We want to live beyond our worst moments and have the hard moments in our future not be the worst moments of our character. And I think that is what we see shifting in Ted and how he grows. And I love that, how you did that through this story.
Yeah, I think you're so right. I mean, our worst moments can't be what define us, and they are things to overcome. And we're not great people when we're living out our sin nature. It's just the truth of the human experience. I mean, on our worst day, we are not great, but we can be better. And that it really is Ted's story.
Yes. Well, we are quickly running out of time. This flew by, this conversation, and I was so into it. Before we go, could you just share with our listeners where they can connect with you and get Captive?
Yeah, Captive is available on all major platforms, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. My publisher went wide with the distribution. The easiest place to connect with me is either through my newsletter. You can go to bradleycaffey.com, or you can hit me up on Instagram. Bradley Caffey Author is where you can find me there. That's the easiest way to connect with me.
Perfect. Well, Bradley, thank you so much for being back on the show again. It was wonderful getting to talk with you and talk about this great story. And I'm excited for my listeners to dive into all of your books.
It was an absolute pleasure, CJ. Thanks for having me on.
I hope you enjoyed listening in on this conversation with Bradley Caffey. As I mentioned earlier in the interview, I had the privilege of reading this book before it was released, and I was able to endorse it. So I wanted to share that endorsement with you. With a villain who will leave you looking over your shoulder, unexpected twists that challenge what you thought you knew, and endearing characters who grow and change in profound ways, Captive is a pulse-pounding adventure that looks at prejudices, hatred, and what it means to be truly human. Caffey delivers an adventure sci-fi fans are sure to love. I really enjoyed this story, and like I said in the interview as well, alien stories aren't typically something I read, but I had a lot of fun reading this book. So if you're looking for a sci-fi adventure, I encourage you to check out Captive, and you will surely enjoy this adventure by Bradley Caffey. There are some action-adventure moments and life-and-death stakes, so it could be a little scary for younger or sensitive readers, so that's something to keep in mind, but it is a clean read. Thank you so much for listening to Read Clean YA with CJ. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend so they can discover exciting, clean young adult books too.